young people to keep that in mind. I'm going to try to make it clear to everybody, but I want you to particularly keep that in mind. All right? As we finish up Jonah, today we're in Jonah chapter 4, and the last verses there, verses 5 through 11. Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Would you please stand if you're physically able? And I will audibly read these verses before we spend a few minutes attempting to understand what God is saying and what it means and how it applies to our lives. Jonah chapter 4, beginning at verse number 5. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, did not make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow before you and ask your help as we make earnest effort to understand what you're saying to us today, as we make earnest effort to understand what it means for our lives and earnest effort to apply it to our lives properly for your glory, for the progress of the kingdom, for our soul's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So as we finish up Jonah, our subject today is evangelism that leads to despair. Evangelism that leads to despair. Now, what we've seen thus far in the book of Jonah is that God has graciously given Jonah a second opportunity for evangelism, right? We saw that as Jonah took God's message to the people of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh responded to God's message with true repentance. Then we saw God graciously forgave Nineveh, right? And he delayed his judgment toward them. Jonah, however, became angry when God forgave Nineveh. Very angry. Angry enough to die. And then we saw God began to reason with angry Jonah in verse 4 of chapter 4. And that's where we pick up the story today. God has begun to reason with this angry, discontented saint. Today we're going to consider just two thoughts. We're going to look at Jonah's despair and then God's faithfulness, all right? Jonah's despair and God's faithfulness. So let's look at Jonah's actions in verse 5. In verse 5, you might remember we read, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He went out, sat down, made a place of comfort for him, though it was temporary. And so you notice Jonah completed the mission that God gave him. Though somewhat under duress, he was compelled to do so. He's now done with the ministry, done with what God called him to do. Then you notice that, and I really want you to see this, since he didn't care for the people that he was ministering to, he had no concern for them, what does he do? He isolates himself, finds a place of safety, and then he decides to sit and observe what's going to really happen to them. This is a really important lesson. He never cared for the people to begin with. But he was willing to minister to them because God told him to. You see the problem? Now, all of us need to really take to heart what we're learning from Jonah. He cared nothing about the welfare of the people. He only cared about fulfilling his ministry. Because he realized what happens when you disobey God. Okay? Now, this is really, I think God displays these things for us to learn. You notice that Jonah had, he wants no more involvement with the people. The very people that he just ministered to, the very people he just took the gospel to, he wants to have no more involvement in their lives. You see it? He's done with them. I gave them the gospel. Now, here's the thing about it. They repented. But he's not even willing to do follow-up work with them. You see the problem? He only wants to do the minimum, whatever little bit it takes for me to get, just to get it done, and I'm out. You get the picture? So those are his actions. He's done, and now he's just going to sit and see what they're going to do. Let's just see how this thing turns out, okay? So what is his attitude? Now his attitude, likewise, you see in verse 5. You got verse 5? He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. You get the picture? Jonah has basically determined he's taken a wait-and-see kind of attitude. Wait-and-see. In other words, you know what he's trying to do. I'm going to prove that my anger was justified. I don't believe these people really were serious anyway. God might have been happy with what they did, but I'm not. You see the dilemma here? God's happy, I'm not. Because, now you see what he's done here. He placed his judgment above God. And you say, oh, Willie, who would do that? Well, now you need to be careful. This is what happens when you're prejudiced and you've already got your prejudge. You've already decided in your own mind about a person. And don't think it won't happen. This is the reason we all need to work through our prejudices. And when you hear me say that, I'm not just talking about racial issues. You understand that? A lot of our problems is with our own family. Yeah? You did what you had to do, but I'm through with him now. You see the problem? And so he's going to prove that his anger is justified. He still believes that Nineveh deserves God's judgment. God may be happy with him right now, but I'm going to wait it out. Maybe God will change his mind. Come on. Isn't that ironic? I'm so sure about my opinion that God's going to change his mind to line up with me. Now you say, who would think like that? Any angry person does. Let me put it, any angry believer. You see, when you're angry at God, you're unreasonable. Right? You are unreasonable to be angry with God who knows everything, who can do anything. And so he still believes that Nineveh deserves judgment, even after God has been pleased with their repentance. I want to make this last statement, and then I want to move on, because I want you to see Jonah's despair. I want to sum it up this way. When you're ministering to someone that you maybe have a, you're struggling with it, you're struggling with their lifestyle, you're struggling with why God has you involved with them, why couldn't God have sent someone else to get involved in this messy situation? I didn't want to be here to begin with, okay? Now, we don't say all those things, but we all have situations that we just don't want to get involved in. I'd prefer that someone else handled this one. But God's got you in it, you see? Now, here's the deal. If God brings that messy situation and that messy person to repentance, that's good. That satisfies him. That ought to satisfy you. Here's the problem for us. When we think a person's life is really messy and they've done so many horrible, ugly things, we think that they need to have this period of, this long period of penance, and then they need to, we got our own idea about what it takes for you to be forgiven. But the Bible clearly says this, that when a person has been brought to godly repentance, that's it. There is nothing else required. Regardless of how long you think they needed to suffer or how long you think they need for recovery, when they have been brought to godly repentance, that ought to be the end of it. Yeah? Regardless of how much you disliked them, regardless of how much harm they caused you, regardless of how much money they cost you, what a misery they caused you, when they've been brought to godly repentance, you need to let it go. And again, you see, for us, it's not so much other races, and I'm talking particularly when it comes to family, this is a big issue. Yeah? Now, I'm not ruling out other prejudices, but I'm wanting us to think not just about Jonah, but about our own situation, the messy situations that God gets us involved in, where he might bring a person to repentance and you just miss it because it's not enough for you. But the much hurt as they cause everybody, cause this one problem. How can they get off that easy? See? We don't say it like that. But that's that whole human mindset. How can you get off that easy when you've caused so much misery and problems? We got it? And so you see, that's his despair. He's so angry that he's just sad. Now, I want you to notice this. This is so wonderful. Jonah is in despair, but God is still faithful. God is still faithful. Look at God provide for this angry, fussing, complaining, disgruntled saint. Now, this is a good God, isn't it? When the Bible says the Lord is good, I know people like to use that old slogan all the time. He really is good. And he really is good all the time. And this is one of those cases where you see it. God is good to this angry, complaining saint. He's good. Look at God provide. The first thing you notice, you got verse 6? Look at verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. Now let me give you a picture. You know, what Jonah did is he went outside the city, got a distance off to where he wouldn't be involved. And if the judgment came, he didn't want to be involved in it. So he got offside, get away from the city where he could get at a place and look back and see what God might do. You know, like Sodom and Gomorrah or something. All right. And so there he is. And he went out and built him a little temporary shelter, you know, some leaves and, you know, you got a picture how they would build a little. You've seen some of the movies with people in Asia or whatever, they build these little temporary shelters with weeds and leaves and things, okay? So that just ain't going to hold up when it's hot, when the sun begins to beam down on you. And so look at God's goodness. God knew that his little old shelter, it's like Adam and Eve. You remember once they sinned and then they went off to try to cover themselves, you remember, with the leaves and stuff. And so God came in and gave them real clothing. Well, he's brought now a covering for Jonah that will actually shield him from the misery that he's about to experience from the sun. And you notice what happened. God intervenes in nature on the saints' behalf. Now, he did it once before, didn't he? You remember when he got thrown over the ship? God intervened in nature. The Bible used the same word. He appointed a what? A fish. Why was that fish there? Because God ordered it. God appointed. It was the right fish for Jonah's need. This particular plant was the right plant for Jonah's need. He did it for Jonah. He does it for you and me. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows when we need it. Isn't that good? Even when you're fussing and complaining and disgruntled, God is still good to us. This is wonderful, isn't it? God intervenes in nature for the saints' benefit. Then I want you to notice, and that's to make Jonah comfortable. Now, this is where Jonah and maybe you begin to have your questions. Notice my next statement. Then God intervenes in nature again to cause him discomfort. You see, we got no problems with God intervening to make him comfortable. But why would God intervene to bring discomfort? You got it? Look at verse 7. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, look at what happened. God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. Why was he discomforted? Because God made him that way. God made him comfortable, and God made him uncomfortable. Now you need to follow this, okay? We good so far? God intervened into nature to give him both what pleased him and what displeased him, right? Or what made him comfortable and what made him uncomfortable. Now, how does Jonah respond? Or look at what happens, and then I want you to look at Jonah's response. You got to get back to our verse. You got verse 8, the second sentence in verse 8. He's faint now, and he says, and he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. Now, you notice what happens. This is bizarre. Jonah now wants to die because God destroyed the plant. Follow it. Follow it. God raises up a plant. Jonah gets comfortable. God destroys the plant he raised up. Now Jonah is uncomfortable. Jonah wants to die because God destroyed the plant that he raised up. You get it? In other words, I was uncomfortable. God made me comfortable. Now I'm uncomfortable again. I want to die because I really enjoyed the comfort. All of it came from God, but I want to die because it can't be my way. Follow this. God is still providing. Now, again, I can't be long here. I just want you to see what's happening. Jonah never thanked God for the plant. Did he? Never thanked him for the comfort. never thanked him for meeting his need. Never prayed and praised God. But as soon as it was taken away, what does he do? Complain. You see the problem? When you're angry and you don't deal with it, you will miss God's blessings because you're so angry. You can't even see when God's blessing you. All that you can see is when your blessings are taken away. Now, compare that to the saint Job. You all know Job's story, right? The same God brought, or allowed, if you will, some awful consequences in his life, right? Some of the dearest things in his life, not just his wealth, I'm talking about his family, his health, all these things were taken away from Job, right? You know how Job chapter 1 ends, right? He rose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and what did he do? Fell to the ground and what? Worshipped. That's a different reaction than we get right here, right? Then what did he say? Naked, I came from my mother's womb. Naked, I shall return. What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. God gives or gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. Now, I want you to see that that's not the response that we're getting from Jonah. No prayer, no praise, no pity, no perception, no godly perspective, none of that. And so I want you to ask yourself, am I a complaining Christian? Is that the way I am? God can be blessed. He can be blessing all around me, but all that I see is the misery. It's what I don't have. It's what has been taken away from me. You see? This is a real issue, my brother, my sister. And then finally, I want us to observe that God teaches. In verse 10, God reveals the perverted thinking in Jonah, the perverted words of Jonah, and what I call the perverted actions. You got verse 10? And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, did not make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. What is God saying to Jonah? You have pity on a plant, but you care nothing about the souls of thousands of people that are made in God's image. You care about a plant that was here for one day, and yet you don't care about thousands of souls. You would prefer that thousands of souls die. You want them to die, but you want this little plant to live. You see how perverted that is? Sometimes God has to show us how far off base we are. Jonah feels justified. And when we are angry, we are reasoning poorly. Yes? We don't reason in a godly way. Now, when I'm talking about unrighteous anger, as we have here with Jonah. Isn't this amazing? He has no concern. Now, even though the Bible says that there's at least 120,000, if that's only talking about younger people, the point is there are thousands of people that live in this city. And he could care less. He's isolated himself, ready for them to die, but one little plant that lived one day, he's ready to die because God killed it. You see the problem? Something wrong with that, Christian. We need to get our, if we're going to be true evangelists for God, you got to care for people more than your things, more than the things that make you comfortable. Yeah? And if God takes away those things, you still have to love and care for people. Yes? Because the God who gives doesn't say you're going to keep everything you got once you start evangelism. Yeah? Now, I know this is not pleasant. We need to learn these lessons now. God wants us to serve him even when it's not comfortable. Even when it's not pleasant. Yes? He's teaching. Not only is he teaching Jonah, he's teaching us. And then lastly, I want you to notice that God reveals that he's the creator. And that as the creator, he alone has the right to show mercy to whomever he desires. You and I don't get to dictate whether he shows mercy to the person that you don't care for. You and I don't get to dictate whether or not a person deserves to be forgiven. You may think that what they've done is so heinous that there ain't no way they could go to heaven. That's not your call. Yeah? That's not our call. That light has one job. What is it? Shine. That's our job. That light does not dictate who it shines on. You and I don't have the right to decide who we bring light to, who we shine on. Yeah? We don't decide who deserves the light. Yeah? Nobody deserves it. You don't deserve it. And the minute you forget that you don't deserve it is when you start on this downward spiral of wrong thinking. No one deserves mercy. Amen? No one. But God has the right to give it to whomever he desires. That's the end of the story. Now here's some thoughts that I want you to just listen to me. Listen to me. I wrote down some thoughts that I want you to carefully contemplate. And the story ends with a probing question. The story ends with an angry, confused, discontented saint unwilling to see and understand the will of God. The story ends with a saint willing to die rather than admit he's wrong. A saint willing to die rather than submit to God. The story ends with the saint missing the joy of the Lord because he chose to be angry. The story ends with the saint who has reluctantly done the will of God and cannot, in fact, will not enjoy the blessing of that obedience. You see this? He doesn't feel blessed at all. He has no joy. And he has every reason for joy. He has every reason to be blessed. But he has chosen to be angry because his will did not come about. So then, my brother, my sister, we need to ask ourselves one last time some probing, some tough questions. Have you been so bitter at someone that you question God's mercy toward them? Have you been so bitter at someone that has probably done you wrong that you question why they are not punished? Have you been so bitter, so angry that you withdrew and isolated yourself from someone to see if God would punish them? Have you ever been so angry and discouraged that you were unreasonable toward God? No prayer, no praise, you don't thank him, no passion.
because you're so angry. And my question is, are you there now? Have you isolated yourself now? Have you withdrawn now? I'm so thankful that even though that's the way Jonah ended up, here's the hope. You know who's the faithful one in this story? God. Yes? God is the faithful one in Jonah's story. Hallelujah. God is the one who shows mercy to Jonah. God is the one who shows mercy to the people of Nineveh. Yes? Just as God did not abandon Jonah when he was angry and confused, he will not abandon you, my brother, my sister. You have hope. Jesus is a sympathetic Savior. Yes? He understands our weaknesses. But you must be honest with him. You must be honest with him. You must humble yourself. You must confess when you're struggling with your relatives, struggling with your coworkers, struggling with your neighbors, those that have been so messy, got such messy lives, and you just don't want to get involved in the mess. You got to be honest with God. If that's what he's calling you to do, submit, humbly submit to, with your whole heart. He's faithful. Yes, you may have resisted him in the past. That's the day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. If you hear him now saying, Willie, do this. Stop fighting it. This is the way you'll be blessed. Stop wishing the worst. Don't get involved and wish the worst for people. Yeah? I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. If we are going to carry out the evangelism that God wants, we've got to be free from this. Humble yourself. Call to Christ. Confess. Cast your cares upon him. You know what? Because the Bible says he is rich in mercy. Yes? The Bible says his mercy is great. The Bible says his mercy is everlasting. The Bible says his mercy extends to the heavens. The Bible says God's mercy fills the earth. Hallelujah. Fills the earth. It never ends. The way Jeremiah said it is, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are what? New. Every morning. And then what's the great song? Great is your faithfulness. He is. He is. And so you don't need to keep pretending. All of us have difficult people. All of us have difficult, messy people that we have to minister to. But do it with your whole heart. Do it with your whole heart. Now, here's the thing. I'm so thankful that the success of this mission didn't depend on Jonah. These people repented even though Jonah's heart wasn't in it. They repented even though Jonah didn't care about them. So God's will is going to be done. But I'm saying that he wants us to be blessed. Yeah? He wants us to be blessed when we do it. Jonah was the one not blessed in this story. God's will is going to be done. Amen? Yeah. And we want to be a part of it, but we want to be blessed. Don't we want to have real joy? Don't want your labor to be what? In vain. Don't want my labor to be in vain. And if you're not a Christian, I'm saying that God's mercy extends to you too. Don't continue to run from him. Don't continue to evade him. Come to him. His mercy is great. His mercy is great. He can forgive anything. But you must come to him. Lord, we're so thankful that you make yourself available to us. We're so thankful that you aren't standoffish, and we're so thankful that you don't isolate yourself and pull back and see what's going to happen to us. We're so thankful that you draw near to us. You are intimately involved in our lives. We're so thankful that you reach out your holy hand into our messy lives and you bring us up out of the miry clay. You touch us and you love us when no one else wants to have anything to do with us. We're so thankful that your mercy extended to our own souls. And now, Lord, we're asking you to help us to be vessels of that mercy. Help us to be true instruments, taking the mercy of God to messy, messy lives. The mercy of God to hopeless lives. The mercy of God to lives that have lost, that have no direction. The mercy of God. Help us. And I'm praying for that one soul or more, that soul today that has never come to know the mercy of God, that soul today that has not known true forgiveness, that soul that has never been set free. Would you work in our midst today? May the mercy of God be free. Grace and mercy be free to work among us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's bow together for a few minutes.